You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
It's the Cooligans, stupid.
Look at that, another Cooligans episode. Christian looks so relaxed in this one. Your team's going nowhere.
What are you referring to? You say look at that as if people have already experienced something.
Because in my mind, they press the button and immediately they hear the sound, look at that. Hey, you hit play, buddy.
It's a nice little congratulatory.
Hey, this is... That's for you.
You did it, buddy. Okay.
You hit the play button. You're on your way to work. You're a little late. You're driving a little aggressive. And let me tell you something. That minivan, they're not going to get any faster, so just go around them.
Okay. So thank you for tuning in. Welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
That's right. I'm Alexis Sean Dice Guerrero.
How's the Cooligans, buddy?
That's been your nickname since day one. Since the first day I met you.
I can't believe a guy with my nickname manages your club, bro.
It's just a whole... Full name, nickname. You know how that works. It's very common.
That's right. It originally was going to be Sean Bleich, but I was like, yo, I think we're using this too much.
What's good, everybody? Yes, we're back. Another episode of the Cooligans here to discuss the funnest things in soccer.
Why'd you do that? How's it feel the last few days? No stress. No losses.
I mean, I also have a two-month-old at home. There's a little bit of stress.
Like I said, no stress. Two-month-old. They practically raised themselves.
Mateo's 2 months old today.
Uh-huh. Hey. Okay. Happy 2 months, Mateo. Let's go.
He is done. He is crushing it at being a baby.
Bro, in no time, you're going to be like, get this large human out of my apartment. They're eating all the food.
I'm like, bro, how have you reached level 100 of babying? You are killing it, dog.
Damn. You unpacked a baby named Mateo. 99 rating.
Crushing it. So, yes, obviously, Everton having, escaped relegation has brought a little bit of peace in my life. But then, then it doesn't stop because then we have...
The wife's not asking, why are you crying randomly throughout the day? You did it.
I got to find new reasons to cry. Yeah. It's so therapeutic. I highly recommend it.
Or
get therapy.
New excuses for why you're crying.
Because we have NYCFC constantly losing.
And tears.
Okay. So there's a lot to go over. But we have to start today. I obviously mentioned today's show... we have an incredibly special guest, Tim Ream of Fulham Football Club will be joining
us. You heard that right.
In just a little bit. Had a little convo with him because obviously Fulham are going to be playing in the Premier League Summer Series. Mm-hmm. And Tim Ream also just broke his arm. So I, got to check on him and see how he's doing.
Right, because you're a physio. Exactly. People don't know that about you. Now that you're a dad, you know what to do.
I'm like, Timmy, you good? Because, just making sure that he can see.
Bend it this way.
Has a strong grip.
You need that for holding on to much younger strikers as they run past you.
So, yes, we know Tim Ream. Obviously, we saw him at the World Cup for the U.S. Men's National Team and on Fulham. So we're going to be chatting with him in just a little bit. But first, let's go over the Europa League final because we know Sevilla has won it again. Sevilla are the Man City of the Europa League.
Well, no, you can't say that.
Why not?
Because Man City hasn't won their tournament yet.
But they've won the Premier League.
They're the Real Madrid because Real Madrid have won Champions League multiple times.
Okay, sure. Mine was all right.
I'd give them that. They both make sense. I'll give them both.
It all makes sense.
I think mine makes a lot of sense, but whatever. We don't have to go tit for tat, because I don't even know what a tat is.
But the you're very much more familiar with the format. Yes, Sevilla win in penalties.
The former means the first one.
Yes, Alexis.
I don't know that. When someone says, the latter, and I'm like, which one
Well, you were struggling with this on Twitter. You asked if Sevilla was the immovable,
I said this on
whatever
the CBS show. I was like, it's the immovable versus the
unstoppable,
unstoppable, whatever those things are supposed to be. And no one on the desk knew what I was talking about. And then it turns out, like, someone, like, I think it's the Sun or some newspaper had tweeted this out 18 hours earlier, had called this match the same thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, how do none of you, and everyone's like, even after the show, they're like, I've never heard this before. I'm like, have you never heard this cliche before?
Damn, bro. I mean, it's like, is it bad of them not knowing the saying, or is it bad on you?
For knowing 70% of the saying?
For barely kind of knowing it.
I feel like me barely kind of knowing something is par for the course.
Sure. Yeah. You are a walking cliff notes. You know what I mean?
I got so many information. Would you want me to have all of it?
Nah, bro. I'm out here skimming through, through your conversations.
I know a little bit of a lot of things. I can't know a lot about a little things.
Well, you just hear a lot of things from that guy. That guy only knows a little bit too.
But. A lot of it is secondhand information. I start a lot of my sentences with, yo, you heard?
You know? You know what Neil deGrasse Tyson Beckford told me? And I'm like, all right, yeah, maybe there might be some truth in what you're about to say.
Bro.
But no, the game overall, it was...
first half, exciting.
Fun.
Adrenaline inducing.
Mm-hmm.
Second half, cured insomnia, bro.
Mourinho ball. It was a
basura. I tweeted this. I said, I want this man nowhere near the men's national team, bro.
Mm.
This was rough.
You know,
is this how you want our team to play?
I mean, look, if it can get you a trophy, but it didn't work this time. And I as soon as the second half was going on, I was like, if this goes to penalties, Roma's not winning this game.
I thought the opposite. I thought Mourinho would be able to get in their heads and, you know, Sevilla, who I expected Sevilla at some point to turn on, especially in the second half where it seemed like they had 99% possession. I just assumed they're going to find a way to score, or if they go to penalties, they're gonna lose it. Because if they can't score in the second half, Jose Mourinho, there's some magic he's going to pull out. Did not happen.
It did not happen. And
in fact, did you see the penalty kick takers? They were defenders.
That's right. All just like, you know, 9 foot center backs stepping up.
Not clearances, bro. This is penalty kick.
What are you going to head the penalty?
Or should we cross it to you there, big man?
I mean, he only had two attackers on the pitch. It was just Bilotti and El Shaarawy. There was no one else.
And you don't think to start
to.
The
no,
penalties
seriously,
with him?
Seriously.
Yeah. It was the confidence wasn't there from them in the second half. And if it was simply tactically, the decision was like, it really seemed like try to bring the ball up. Try to get a foul. Let's try to score on a set piece. That was the whole second half. That was the entire extra time from Roma. Whether it was a tactical decision or they just seemed tired.
They also have no players. They have Dybala and then a serious drop.
Well, Tammy Abraham had an awful game.
Very bad.
Nobody really, really.
Pellegrini didn't do anything offensively.
Bro, wasn't effervescent at all.
Damn, bro.
There you go. Effervescent twice in a row.
Little water joke.
Did you learn that today or what happened?
Pellegrini? Effervescent? Come on.
That one went totally over my head.
Someone driving behind a slow minivan right now.
Just crashed into the minivan.
Just smashed into the back of that. They were laughing
Alexis
so
is like
goddamn hard.
Hoping his high school English teacher's listening. I'm like, I showed him.
Yeah.
You see what I'm doing? Right.
And you said I was stupid. Well, you were right except for that moment when I said effervescent.
They were bad. And it really... For the majority of the game, including the extra time, it did feel like Sevilla was going to win that game. Same thing. Penalties just didn't. I didn't get any strong sense of confidence. And then I also have, you know, we saw Morocco and the Moroccan goalkeeper
Banu
at the World Cup, and my man exudes confidence and swag.
He'd be doing this thing. You should go over here.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Yo, she kick it right here, bro. Don't be scared. Kick
my
it right
man,
here.
And he was. I think he's on a new level of confidence because he was getting. World Cups are where a lot of times the casual soccer fan gets to meet a new player that be interested in. And Bono was a very handsome man.
Okay.
So he was getting a lot of like...
Which is why we're talking about him.
For real. But he was getting a lot of like, you know, this is daddy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like,
he's getting a lot of zaddy attention.
What was it, Pedro Pascal?
Yeah.
He's getting a lot of zaddy, daddy, like, you know, choke me comments.
Right.
I mean, look, what are the comments that people, I leave them sometimes too, but I'm just saying.
I feel like you and I got a different Instagram. I'm not going to lie.
But these are the comments. I'm just like, he's just a normal man, right? He just happens to be on like, a hit show.
Who tweeted that? It's just Christian's burner.
Hey, Morocco's playing well. But joke me, Zaddy. What?
But so I'm just saying, it boosts your self-esteem.
Yeah.
And if you're between...
Not mine.
Yeah. If you're
I stay getting called a fat clown. Just stay.
If you're between the sticks and you get those kind of comments, mm-hmm. I'm just saying, you're going to be kind of, feeling yourself.
Right.
And you think you're going to end up winning a trophy, and that's what happened.
Whoever left the comment might have been feeling themselves.
I'm just saying, you can't... It's undefeated, bro. Like, yeah. I'm just saying, there's just like the boost of self-esteem to some of the these players but that was just the general vibe of Sevilla. And
he's also
and
a very interesting guy, Bono. He's born and raised in Montreal, plays for Morocco, lives in Spain, but speaks with an Argentinian accent.
Guy's just confused, bro. He doesn't know what's up.
Bro, I think this guy's a spy, bro. I don't think this is real.
My man switches up accents faster than Kate Abdo.
Right? How you got that many dialects in your, I could barely speak English with an American accent. How the hell are you switching to an Argentinian accent?
It's incredible. I mean, look, you get heavily influenced by your teammates and stuff. I'm sure that's a lot.
He plays from Morocco.
I'm just saying.
And lives in Spain.
He never even
plays
played
with like Eric Lamella and
I was gonna say he's never played for in any Argentinian team in Argentina any relation.
He's from Montreal.
But that's like saying, look at Hector Bellerin. Why does he sound like a roadman from South London?
He lived in North London.
I'm just saying.
What's this man's connection to Argentina?
You get influence. I don't mind.
The
it.
Only one I can find is Diego Simeone was his manager from 2012 to 2016. But that's the
maybe
only
maybe his wife is Argentinian or something. Who knows? All right.
Maybe. Okay. I'd be willing to accept that.
Okay. I want to play this real quick because Jose Mourinho was very unhappy with...
You think?
The
guy threw his Anthony Taylor.
I have a personal beef with Anthony Taylor as a Chelsea fan, the most anti-Chelsea referee in the Premier League, so I just had to get that out there.
Okay. Wow. Let him know, Miguelito.
That sentence came out of your mouth.
Why do you have it tattooed on your arm as well?
Yeah. Yeah, I just have the entire manifesto written on my
exactly floor. What you just said. So he wasn't happy with Anthony Taylor and his refereeing, and it's interesting on... we did a TikTok live with David Gerson. He's a great TikTok account. He's a referee out of Georgia, mm-hmm. and his account is on TikTok. It's called Refs Need Love Too. He breaks
choke me, Daddy.
Okay, if we clip that, it's gonna be like, well, you didn't know why. Yeah. Don't worry, it's not.
Don't clip that part without the context, please.
But he made a video earlier today talking about how great of a job Anthony Taylor did on this game and making the correct call on a lot of controversial decisions. But Mourinho was not happy with David's video, I guess.
Mourinho just unfollowed David.
But let's play. This is in the tunnel after the game, and Mourinho is not happy.
And
with
Mourinho sees Anthony Taylor, I guess, getting into his car?
Yeah. It's a bit much. We'll see. All right, so it's a big claim, and you know he's gonna get in trouble for this. He called them effing crooks and said it was a disgrace.
Should you get in trouble for this?
Should you? Yes, you should get in trouble.
Why?
Because especially as a manager, just discredit referees. It's clearly a difficult job. They're not going to get every decision correct. But if you allow this vitriol, especially from a manager, it sets a terrible precedent for how referees are treated. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, nah, why? Why? Let him call him a crook. What's the big deal?
I think you should be allowed to express, concern.
You can.
Unhappiness.
There's going to be a financial penalty for what he...
That's what I'm saying. There shouldn't be.
Oh.
He didn't attack him.
He did not physically attack him.
Yo, you're a crook.
That's all.
Yeah.
Not a big deal. Referees love having their integrity questioned. I bring this up all the time, but remember when we were at a coaches convention and we participated in an exercise that the
we got to do VAR.
VAR.
So we got to see what VAR is like.
I was the VAR and I was in. I had the headset
and I said, I don't care. I'll just film it and make jokes. And everyone's like, great idea, except for the referee who was helping us.
And then Alexis, I'm trying to make the right decision, and it's very difficult to be a VAR referee. I've experienced it. There's a lot happening.
Here's my belief: no one cares about a video where we're just doing it. Exactly.
Right. But you made a joke.
So I said, would it be funny if I made a couple of jokes? I made a couple of ones that he laughed at.
Yeah.
And then I said, he was showing you all the different camera angles.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, which angle shows you getting paid by the other team? And he did not react however you just reacted.
My man.
Unless you got in my face just now.
My man was not happy at even the slight inference or joke that he could be bribed.
Mm-hmm.
Not funny in any context.
As if refs have never been bribed before.
Right, but it's also a huge problem if they've been bribed.
Yeah, of course.
Right. So,
which is why a joke, why would there be a camera angle on the VAR that shows it?
Seems like he got a little defensive, that guy. Might have been taking some money himself.
Wow, exactly. Remember I said that? And you go, do not say that on the
I hope he's listening, bro.
Should just say he clearly is taking money. And Christian's like, under no circumstances.
Yeah, he was not happy with it. So that's, so that can't be the angle. You can't be to make these accusations with referees. But overall, I think what Mourinho's upset with was the non-handball call from the cross that went in.
Right.
My opinion is, if it was a handball, I would be like, well, then that's them's the breaks, you know? But because it wasn't called, I think it's like, that's how I wish the game is called, that, or at least handballs are called in the future, where like if your hands are in a normal position, they are down to your side, you're not making your body bigger, and it's very, the natural silhouette of how you would stand, that shouldn't be called. But we've seen it called pretty often, especially even this year.
What about the penalty that got overturned in the box? I think it was Ocampos who fell over. There was contact, minimal. He definitely made a meal out of it, but he did get that got called back. It's balanced. The fact that you didn't get that overturned and get another one in your favor is a bit much. That kind of, to me, it balances out. It's a little bit of an overreaction, but you just lost the final, so I can understand you being upset.
Exactly. But even still, Anthony Taylor did his best. I don't know what to tell you.
If anyone should be mad, it's us for having to have watched that second half. It was horrific. Really? So boring.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if you know this, but Mourinho actually congratulated Mendilibar right as the last penalty was about to be taken, because he already knew.
Oh, well, yeah, they hadn't made any. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
they made the first.
They made the first one, and then they missed the rest. And Montiel, who obviously scored the game winner in the World Cup for Argentina, missed the game winner. And then obviously the goalkeeper stepped off his line, had it retaken, and ended up winning overall. So in general, it was a pretty chill evening for Sevilla, because they got to lift another Europa League trophy.
Seventh Europa League trophy. Crazy.
Incredible. And you know what? And then but we get to lift this ice cold trophy. All right.
Cold, crisp trophy.
You want to do it like they left the trophies? Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Where's the confetti? Yeah.
CGI confetti in there. You can hear the crowd going nuts.
Everybody's going crazy. But yes, as always, shout out to Coors Light for always making sure that the Cooligans are taken care of. We have cool right in our name. So
that's true.
I mean, it's like it's
we're cold brewed, refreshing,
cold
crisp.
Filtered, cold filtered. Lagered, okay?
Cold lagered. You know, and look, you said you're a parent now, 2 months in.
I did say that. It's true. I just want to make sure I'm not
breaking news.
I'm not fabricating it. It's like a real thing. Yeah.
But look, it could get hectic. Watch, being an Everton fan could get hectic when you want to chill. You got to choose chill, and that's this beer right here.
Exactly, because you know it's cold enough. You know it's chill enough when you see those blue mountains right on the can,
buddy, you
on
see
the
those
bottle.
Blue mountains. It's time for fun.
That's it, bro.
It's time to have a good time. It's time to relax. It's time to, it's happy hour right now,
okay,
regardless of what hour it is.
Okay. Live your truth, sir. Yeah. So when you choose...
Do you, papa.
Vamos. When you choose to chill, pair your plans with a nice cold Coors Light. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/Cooligans.
That's CoorsLight.com/Cooligans. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
So now we have to go to our my conversation.
We don't have to, but it'd be nice.
Yes. We have to right now. Yeah. I run a tight ship here. Tim Ream joined me for a quick conversation, obviously about the World Cup.
Right, I went to the bathroom, right, and then boom, the conversation started. I came back. I'm like, about 20 minutes later, I go, "Is he there yet?"
I'm like, "Alexis, he's a little occupied." Tim was concerned.
Yeah. My suggestion is, do not get the taco bowls if you're out here.
But here it is. Here's my conversation with Tim Ream.
Jewelry can say many things on your wedding day. As a wedding band, it can say, "This is a forever symbol of our forever love." As a gift to your wedding party, it can say, "Thanks for standing up there with us." Blue Nile can help you find the piece that says it all and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, I am absolutely stoked about today's guest because not only is this man just recently at the World Cup. I mean, we just had Kellen Acosta got off the plane from Qatar and came to our studio, which was pretty wild. And it's one of those things where you're like, oh man. You deserve better. You shouldn't be on this show. but now at this point, I'm like, nah, we're good. My confidence is up. I think Kellen brought me to a point where I'm like, as soon as, you know, a U.S. men's national team player was at the World Cup and then is on our show, it's completely appropriate. So I'm absolutely honored to welcome our guest, Mr. Tim Ream. What's good, man?
Not much. What's going on?
Thank you so much for joining me, man. I mean, I know my co-host couldn't be here at the moment, but you did get to meet him on Morning Footy. And, you know, he asked you, what did Pep say to you exactly? He asked you about the Prevel cheese. You didn't get to – I'm going to ask this for him because we've had a couple St. Louis folks on the show. We've had the sporting director, Lutz Pfannenstiel, of St. Louis City. And Alexis did mention to him. So I'm getting the food question out of the way because it happens on every show. So
every show.
Prevel cheese, I've never had it, but Alexis talks about it. He doesn't talk about it glowingly. What are your experiences with Prevel cheese?
It goes on all the pizza in St. Louis, that's for sure. That's
okay.
I mean, it's unless you're from St. Louis, you're probably not going to like it. It's different. It's very different. It's heavily processed. So
right. That's they write it on the packaging. It's different.
Yeah, it's different.
Okay. All right. I got when. I mean, obviously, we've seen already the matches in St. Louis, and it looks incredible. But that's going to be one of my bucket list things. I have to go and try this cheese, and I'll send you my video of the reaction it.
Yeah, give an honest opinion of it.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Tim, I want to make sure we talk about it because obviously Fulham is going to be playing in the U.S. This is the Premier League Summer Series is pretty dope. For years I've seen a lot of Premier League clubs or national teams play friendlies. My first experience at a soccer game was like watching Real Madrid against Roma in 2002 or something like that. And they're like, it's one of those moments that like it changes your life and you get to see the players that you see on TV and stuff like that. Have you, I know Fulham, I don't think, while you've been at Fulham, they haven't played in the U.S., right? So this will be at least your first opportunity to come with the club. What are you feeling as far as getting to be a part of that experience?
Man, I'm telling you what, it's about time. Honestly, yeah, yeah. It'll be my ninth season, and I'm like, I've been pushing him every single year. When are we going? We have an American owner. What are we doing? Right. Why do we keep going into Europe? Like, oh, because we have European coaches. And I'm like, come on, guys. Like, you're missing a trick here. Missing a trick. Obviously, it helps when you're in the Premier League. Don't get me wrong. And so, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Like, I've not actually played – other than U.S. games, not played any friendlies at club level in the States. And, to be able to come back and kind of show the guys like how much of an appetite there is for the game and for the Premier League and the teams in the Premier League and seeing, it's weird for me to say this, like seeing us up close instead of on the TV. It'll be cool. It'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it. Guys were already talking about it when it got announced, and they're excited.
And it's I love that you are officially part of the marketing team for Fulham. That's pretty dope. You're wearing a lot of different hats. But I having gone to so many, I've seen Arsenal, I've seen Chelsea, I've seen Everton. I'm an Everton fan,
I'm sorry.
I mean, it's you can say sorry, right? But there's it could have been worse, right?
Could have been worse. Yeah, yeah. You're
we'll talk about that in a second. But there's a certain sense of like community that is a little bit different as an American Fulham fan or American Arsenal fan, American Everton fan. There's it's one of those things where it's your it's like a pilgrimage in a weird way where like it's the opportunity for Fulham fans to meet each other. They've been interacting on Twitter for years, but in America, they finally get to be at the same place at the same time. So I imagine you're at least excited to see some of that.
Yeah, of course. It's unique in a way. And at the same time, it's not unique. I think it'll be great for, like I said, for us to kind of see, because we see the same fans over and over and over and interact with the same fans over and over and over after games. And it's amazing, right? You can get real up close. So to see and interact with a different group, a different set of fans, but then also kind of bring it all together. And like you just said, have the fans from over here in the UK potentially traveling to the US and watching these games and them kind of meeting up on social media, on Twitter, but then also physically meeting up and seeing each other and shaking hands and talking, face to face for the first time is a cool aspect and a cool part of kind of this, the summer series is that it's bringing multiple groups of people together.
Sure. Yeah. Whenever Everton plays in the US, I'm just like, I'm like, I get to see all the homies. I haven't seen them. we can commiserate over what Everton has done to us again this year.
Again. One week longer, though. They did it one week later, didn't they?
They really wanted a nice climactic ending, and they gave that to us. But I want to talk about this and just relegation, because obviously you have to feel for Leicester and Leeds, and especially Leeds because of the American players that play there. This is an interesting thing. I got this from our producer, but he had mentioned that obviously you've been with Fulham for a long time, but you have changed divisions in 5 consecutive seasons before this one. So we've seen that, sort of being like a yo-yo club, as they say. But as a player experiencing that, what are the specifics that come with that outside of like the obvious heartbreak and joy of going back and forth? Like, is the lunch in the cafeteria the same? Do you get like, you notice the quality in food when you're in the Premier League, and then when you're in the Championship, like, hey, what happened to the budget that we had last year?
I mean, you've pretty much hit the nail on the head with that one. That's the food in the kitchen is definitely one. You definitely see cuts. We'll say that.
Right.
It's never nice going up and down, up and down. It's not good for your heart, man. I'm telling you what. It's
the food or the
promotion? Yeah, both. To be completely honest with you. The stress of like going up and down, and then you're like, okay, this is going to be cut this year. This is going to be cut this year.
Yeah.
Or you get promoted and you're like, okay, this is going to be better. This is going to be better. It's the things behind the scenes that people don't see that maybe aren't such a huge thing to a lot of people, but they're definitely, they definitely have to cut back and make adjustments for sure.
Yeah, I wonder if it's like, I guess the thing I think about, and I think a lot of people, they obviously see like, oh, they'll be in the Championship and or whatever, they'll be back or whatever. But it's interesting because these particular details, right, they are a huge factor in what it means to sort of be a professional, right? Because it's like you can get relegated or you can get promoted and be like, you tell the secretary, Sheila, buy that PlayStation. You're good, and you have that kind of confidence. But when you get relegated, you're like, Sheila, you gotta sell the PlayStation. I don't know what to tell you.
Honestly, it really is like you're actually looking after other people. Your performances on the field and whether you get relegated or promoted directly affect the physios, the trainers. It affects everybody at the club. It really does, because budgets change. But Even for most players, they'll have a relegation clause or release clause, but they'll have a relegation clause where your wages change, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, and this is going to sound really, really bad, but like, it's like, okay, we can take that vacation, but we can't take that vacation, kind of thing. And that is a real thing.
Yeah.
And I'm not, listen, don't get me wrong. Like, you can still take amazing vacations, but it's You're now trading off, so I don't want to come and sound like a spoiled guy. But then you break it down, and it's like, okay, the average person at the club who's working there, the secretary, the player liaisons, the physiotherapist, all of their changes as well. So there's a lot that goes into going up and down, up and down, up and down.
Right. Yeah, and yeah, it's for someone who's experienced it that consistently, it's like it is clearly fresh in your mind. So I'm glad Fulham stayed up, and not only just stayed up, but had a really, really incredible year. And obviously, you were a huge part of that. So the fact that this season was a little bit more, just definitely less stressful than usual. How did you feel about this season overall? Now that it's over,
it was boring.
It wasn't boring.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I missed. It was like, it was, I mean, amazing. Listen, don't get me wrong. It was absolutely incredible, to be safe basically in February when you're looking over your shoulder and panicking, the last couple of times we've been in the Premier League. But, the team was amazing. The manager, incredible to have us playing the way we were. And it, it was fun. Like, it was so hard. Every game is so difficult. And people are like, oh, this, you know, you play Man City, it's going to be a hard one. I'm like, it's the Premier League, man. Like, they're all hard. Like, nothing is, like, you can't get away from that. But, yeah, to be sitting there and literally be in 10th.
Must be nice.
Oh, man, it was, oh, it was so nice. Like, watching down the last couple of weeks, even for me, like, I break my arm with 5 games to go. And it's like, if we're not safe, man, those last 3 weeks are going to be painful. And I don't mean, like, painful for my arm. It's just going to be
right.
hard. But, yeah, it is so nice. Nice.
You broke your arm also on my birthday, which is also very odd. I did not wish that when I blew the candle.
You didn't wish it, did you? No.
But you broke your arm. I heard you mention that you definitely are feeling a lot better. I don't know if you saw this. Lynn Williams, obviously of the U.S. Women's National Team, she plays for Gotham FC. But in the first, I believe the first game of the season, she injured her arm to the degree she didn't break it, but she wore a splint the entire game, and she scored a goal while wearing the splint. Have you considered, like, was that even part of a consider wearing a splint? You don't need your arm to play soccer per se. How serious was it, bro? Because the splint makes it look like, I don't know. Could have you been out there? I don't know.
you want the whole story? Because I was being tagged in this. I was being tagged about, oh, Lynn Williams is doing it, and I was like, I mean, fair play to her.
Right.
But I didn't actually look up the full backstory. So if she didn't break it, then it's a little bit different.
Well, yeah.
Honestly. When I looked at that CT scan, it looked like a bomb went off in my arm. It was the smaller, like if you put your arm out, right, and you put it straight out in front of you, the inside bone, so the one that's closer to your body, was in 7 pieces.
Oh, my goodness.
So,
so okay, a splint may not. Yeah.
Splint wasn't really going to do enough for me. You know what?
A couple Band-Aids, icy hot, you know, get back out there, kid.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I wish. I actually told them. I told the physios when they came out, they're like, well, we're making a sub. And I was like, no, absolutely not. I was like, do the tests. Well, I want 100% like certain that there's no way I can play. Right. Couldn't shake the guy's hand. He rotated my arm, and I felt everything move. And I was like, "Yeah, no, I'm that's cool. I'm done. Like, I'm all right. I'll sit this one out."
Okay, all right. Well, I'm glad you're at least obviously getting better. I want to ask about the World Cup because obviously we were watching intently, and you know, it was great to see. Great to see you out there, and just I thought the team was just like. So incredibly strong. I mean, one of the things I'm, as a soccer fan and watching the men's national team, you want to see, especially after missing the last World Cup, you want to see just like pride and confidence and confidence in your own play. And I think there was a lot of that. But I'm curious about the last match, obviously against Netherlands. Was there, I'm just curious as a fan, like, was there anything for you that frustrated you about that match? Like anything that, you may regret or something that you wish would have gone a little bit differently because it was a challenging game for the U.S.
Yeah, obviously the scoreline wasn't great. He obviously regret that a little bit. But I think that when I look back on kind of the way we were set up and what we were trying to do, we didn't expect them to completely sit back the way they did. So that was a little bit of a surprise, but then also we had talked about, you know, we were in the first couple of games, we were pretty vulnerable to kind of cut back. So crosses, like get them getting to the end line and crossing towards the penalty spot or the top of the 18. And, you look at their first 2 goals in the first half and what happened, exactly what we had said we were already vulnerable to, in the 3 group games. And, I think that's the one kind of regret is that we identified the a problem area for us and didn't rectify it in for that match. But listen, hindsight's 2020, isn't it? Like easy to say. It's easy to say now. Christian having an unbelievable chance in the first 5 minutes. You're not going to put blame on anybody. So, yeah, just knowing that we had identified something could have done better. But man, what an experience! Incredible.
Yeah, I mean, there's a whenever the U.S. men are in a World Cup, there's obviously it's a huge, it means a lot for the country, it means a lot for the sport and the popularity of the sport. That's why missing in 2018 was obviously so significant. But there's a, I don't know if it's, I'm sure that a lot of Americans do this, but I'm just like delusional. I'm just like, we're going to win. Well, obviously, we're going to win. The story, we've seen too many American films where we always get the underdog story is always works out for us, and it didn't work out in this scenario. So it's the Netherlands sitting back as a fan, I'm just like, it's like, why can't we figure, like, I'm out there, I'm like, why can't we figure this out? But I imagine in the moment it's just like there's a lot going on.
You're armchairing it. That's all right. Everyone armchairs it. I get it. I get it. I do it here. Sitting watching other games. I'm like, why didn't he just make this pass? Why didn't he make that pass? Like, why? What's he doing here? Like, move out of the way. I can imagine. It's frustrating. But like at the end of the day, like, you know, when you say, oh, you're delusional and you think you can win it, in reality, if you're going to a tournament, you may as well want to win it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, okay, yeah, maybe we're delusional for saying, right, we're going to go and we're going to try to win it. Well, and then you have people who are like, well, yeah, you're the U.S. Like, what chance do you really have? Well, if you don't have that mentality, then what's the point of going in the first place, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You're not delusional. It's just, passion. It's passion. It's fandom.
Look at our comments from English people. All right, they're okay. That's exactly what they say about us. But you know what? I always say, well, you know, the we beat England 0-0, bro. That's how I see it. Okay. So that's an absolute L for them. And I was, you know, so you helped us when it comes to the banter that we have with some of our English fans. I wish I could shake your hand right now, Mr. Ream, okay? Because you did a great job for us. I have one more question. This is from one of our fans. We have our supporters group called Gully Squad, right? Freddie Alarcon, who was a huge Fulham fan, he asked a question. He said, is there pressure being an American at Craven Cottage? That is to say, is there pressure on continuing the tradition of full America? And he adds, up the cottagers.
I wouldn't say there's pressure. I'd say there's pride. I think pride is a better description of it. And it's something that for me when I first moved there was definitely a major contributing factor on the reason for moving. I want to do well wherever I go. I want to do well in whatever game I'm playing for whatever team, whether that's Fulham or the US, of course. So there's pressure that I put on myself in the first place, but I'd say there's more pride knowing who's come before you. And that's always been the case, even with the US team. I mean, there's pride in knowing that you've had an Eddie Lewis, a Casey Keller, a Brian McBride, a Clint Dempsey, a Carlos Bocanegra, a who's who of US legends come through here. And so it's like, I wouldn't say I'm putting pressure on to become a U.S. legend or a legend of Fulham, but there is that pride of carrying on that tradition and carrying on that torch until someone rips it out of my cold hands and takes it over.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder if the, you know, like we saw this at Leeds when obviously they signed a lot of American players. The you know, I would say you are a part of helping the brand of the American footballer just simply playing in the Premier League, because we still got a ways to go. I feel like as Americans we have the history and there should be some respect, but sometimes you have to remind people in 50-50 balls, like, yo, okay, yeah, I'm American, but I got that dog in me as well.
Or it's been 11 years trying to remind American or remind fans that just because I'm American doesn't mean I can't play. And again, it's not just because you're American. I think it's something that all players should have. And I think those boys up in Leeds, that's pressure. That's pressure because there've not been that lineage and that heritage of Americans to come through there, right? So they're, you know, they're that first group, and that is pressure. I'll tell you that much right now at a club like that. For me, it's like, yeah, I'm just out here every season trying to remind people like, hey, don't worry about me, like don't worry about the Americans, like we can play, like if we find a good situations, like we can do it, and that's just about proving yourself. And I love it, man. I still love it at 30, 35, going on 36. It's it drives me every single day.
No, I hope, you know, I feel like center backs and goalkeepers, they play until they're like 55. So you'll still be around for a while, dude.
That's what I'm going for anyway.
Tim Ream, thank you so much for joining us, man. This is like really, really dope. I really, really appreciate you taking the time. Just a reminder for obviously Fulham fans, if you are in the United States, Fulham will be playing the Premier League Summer Series. They've been playing obviously three matches. Sunday, July 23rd. Against Brentford, the next game July 26th against Aston Villa, and Fulham against Chelsea on Sunday July 30th. I don't know if you're gonna be 100% fit for these, but I hope
I'm there.
Okay,
don't worry. I'm not.
There we go.
I'm not missing it. Don't you worry.
Lynn Williams splint and all. Timmy will be there. Tim, thank you so much for joining us, man. I appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, America.
Tim Timothy Ream.
Oh.
Joining the Cooligans. Absolute honor.
Why did we cut out the part where he guaranteed we'd win the World Cup?
I don't know. And he said it so loudly.
Oh, dude, he said $1 billion. I said, I don't think you got it. And he said, don't play with me. I'll break your arm. Remember when he said
you
that?
You know, it's these press officers at their clubs that are so, right? They're trying to be so cautious.
Dude, they're so scared, dude.
Okay. Yeah. Content first. All right. We think about the consequences later. No, but shout out to Tim Ream. Thank you so much for joining the show.
Very cool. He's going to be playing in the summer series.
That's
go
right.
Check
so
it out.
Dope. A bunch of clubs are going to be playing in the summer series. And it's always fun.
The Premier League summer series.
Exactly. The last few years, I mean, it's been a part of just kind of a nice thing in the summer. Like it's almost like we vacation. We go see Everton. We go see Arsenal. We go see
we summer at the Arsenal game.
We summer at the Arsenal.
Summering at the Arsenal game. So this
you can summer at Fulham.
The kids are at camp.
It's a great bring the family.
Yeah, we got a timeshare.
Okay. We're trying to get out of it. It's really hard.
It's not easy. Okay. There's a clause in there that if we ask to get out of it, we have to buy a second timeshare. So it's just very difficult.
Oh, I just want you to know it's destroying our family.
But that's where we summer. If you ever wonder how this show works, we don't know either.
Exactly. Okay. We got to get to the there's a lot of drama going on in Major League Soccer because we saw it. There's a couple things going on. We'll start with the LA Galaxy because...
Well, we had a conversation about Milan when they had their meeting with the Ultras.
Their meeting, yes. It was scheduled.
Right.
right.
Is it a Zoom or live?
No. Oh, it's going to be on the racetrack right around the pitch. Yes, okay, yes, yes.
Cool. Sheila, put it on the calendar.
Yeah.
So, you know, and you've been to Italy, right? Like a lot of countries. They're very serious about their sport.
Yeah.
It very much feels like a religion. Mm-hmm. It's something, you know, they treasure their history and obviously the success of their clubs and things like that.
Also, let's be honest, regardless of what job you have, if a group of shaved head dudes who wear all black said, hey, we need to have a conversation with you, you'd be like, all of you? Okay. At the same time?
You can't all be balding,
right? Jeez.
So they're very serious about it. And we saw, so obviously the news with the LA Galaxy, Chris Klein has finally been dismissed after a long protest from a lot of the supporters groups. And we
also a protest from the Wind Column as well.
They're just allergic to it.
The win column is like, we ain't having y'all, bro. You banned from the win column, though.
But the LA Galaxy, the players went and their coach Greg Vanney went up to the supporters, and the supporters were vocal and saying, like, you know, obviously they voiced their displeasure with how the team has been playing. But it obviously mimicked exactly what was going on in Milan when the players were speaking to the ultras. So now this is catching on.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Because now we saw that one. And then we just had another one last night with NYCFC.
A little less formal. A little bit more impromptu.
Right. But this was at Yankee Stadium, NYCFC midfielder and captain.
This was filmed actually by the guy who filmed a lot of our original videos early on.
Right. But this was posted by the NYC FC Forever pod. They're the homies. But we saw James Sands walk up to the supporters and had that conversation, and it wasn't
he's the captain. He was doing captain things,
and so there's a lot here, and we'll try to unpack as much as possible, but let's play a little bit of it and then just so we can get
that's not good enough, Jay.
We're here, right? No, don't worry about it. We're here to thick and thin, bro. We're never gonna leave, bro. But this, right here, what you guys are doing, it's not enough. It's not enough. Bro, if it's the coach, speak up. Do something about it, bro. We're sick and tired of this. You don't wanna be suffering through this. Understand that this is a rebuild here, right? Understand it.
You don't think we come in every day?
No, but still, bro. Like, we gotta come on.
We don't feel it, bro.
We don't see that.
We don't see that effort, James.
We don't see that, bro.
Okay, so I want to stop there real quick. He goes, and he ends it there.
Yeah, we got to translate for people who don't speak New York.
He obviously is saying, you don't think we come out here and
well, they were, yeah, work? You can hear the guy, but you may not be able to hear James Sands back, but he says, you don't think we are working? And he even says, well, we don't have to play the whole thing,
no.
But James Sands basically says, like, you know, you can't tell us we're not trying or we don't care.
Right.
The people on the field feel it way more than you, which I don't want to sit here and disagree with that, but I think it's a little unfair to the fans, especially what, you know, NYCFC has quite possibly the best traveling fan group. If not, it's one of the top.
Mm-hmm.
It's very expensive to travel. A lot of these fans put their heart and soul into supporting this club. You know, Templados, you hear them drumming at away matches. They go everywhere this team goes. The fans that are right here that you see from NYCFC Forever podcast, these guys go everywhere the team goes and are rooting this team on. You saw how packed they had to add tickets for MLS Cup in Portland when we won it. It's a difficult situation. It's tough to tell a team that they don't care, but it's also tougher to see and feel like they don't care.
Yeah, I mean, and it's like a moot sort of conversation of like, you guys don't care. Like, I mean, I don't think that's a fair assessment of
what. It's also no way to quantify.
Exactly. It was like, that's.
Well, my care meter's at 100. What's your?
Let's compare our carometers.
Take the socks off. Let me see your care meter.
So it's like a kind of a pointless conversation. But I think I want to put up Hercules Gomez. He has his tweet, obviously, of ESPN. And this was his tweet. He says in the message to players, he goes, players, stop engaging with fans like this. I know you are meaning for it to be respectful, but best case scenario, total strangers, quote unquote, respect you for taking the time to be berated. You just lost. Everyone is upset. Nothing good for you can come from an exchange like this. So
I also think that's unfair.
I think this is unfair, too.
I don't want to get to the point where every time a team loses, they need to have another
meeting. Right. Meeting, everybody. All hands meeting. Yes, I will reply all to this email.
This could have been an email also. But look, since we're all here, I got donuts.
So we don't need that. But I think there's a couple things here. I have respect for the fans for voicing their opinion. I have huge respect for James Sands for walking up and having the conversation, whether it's kind of productive or not. But I think
in your ticket, it doesn't say you get to watch a match and have a conversation with the player.
Right.
The player doesn't have to listen. The player doesn't have to walk up and be like, what's on your mind?
It's like no.
You seem to be in a good mood, my guy.
I don't want an autograph. This is your review.
Yeah.
This is your quarterly review.
I have the feeling stick. It is my turn to talk.
So I want to bring up a few things from earlier this year.
But I look, James Sands, homegrown player for NYCFC, obviously a young man. What is he, 21, 22 at this point? Yeah. But he's been with the club, you know, started with the
academy
club.
Days.
Yes, when he was like 15, 16 years old.
22.
So it showed a lot of maturity for him to go up to fans, and he ended it. We didn't play in this when we were playing that clip, but he said at the end, he said, "Don't tell us we don't care. It's disrespectful."
Which is true.
And he walked away.
And he has every right to say that.
100%.
As much as the fans have the right to voice their opinion.
Everybody has the right to do either thing.
Both sides of the argument are
allowed.
But this
is what I want to talk about, because now we're starting to see what MLS ultras look like, mm-hmm. right? And behave like, right? Because there is no promotion relegation. There is no absolute cost of losing outside of just being humiliated and you know, bringing in less revenue.
Local bragging rights.
Local bragging and stuff like that, which is a common American sports thing. It's like at the beginning of the year, everybody's in first and we all have an opportunity to win the title. But in soccer, there's not as much to lose within MLS or in leagues that don't have promotion relegation. So if we're not going to have that cost of getting your team relegated to a lower division, then this is why it kind of looks like, where fans are just like, I will not stand for a poor product on the pitch, and I'm going to let you know about it. And we always envy what happens in England, in Germany, in Italy. We see the giant tifos. We see the passionate supporters, the tattoos on their body. We love all of that stuff. And that's the thing. On TV, it looks nice. And we see how the leagues use that to their advantage. They're like, look at how colorful and this league is with
so passionate.
But then when you're face to face with these passionate supporters, this is what they're like.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, okay, well, this is a little too much for me.
Can we get a metal detector to check them for passion?
Because it's just a little, you know, I think people can feel like it's a little excessive, but I see this.
But also, this is a very soccer specific thing, because I ain't never been no meetings with the fans at a Jets game.
Sure. No, not at all. But I also think there's a little bit, you know, with soccer, because people think it's like, if they feel it's the every man's game.
Right.
Like, we've stood next to players. We're like taller than some of these elite athletes. And we just assume like, all right. I mean, if you could do it,
right?
Like, I mean, how far am I?
I should have got my fancy feet out earlier.
I mean, I could train 2 weeks and be like you, right?
Right. It's nothing.
So it seems just so, there's so much more relatable to us as just like normal people. So, but this is what.
That's true, though. If you said to a bunch of NFL players, you don't care enough, and they said, what'd you say? You'd be like, nothing. I don't know. What did you hear?
Man, there's whole hand. How you give me a full face mush?
I'm glad you're here, actually, because I was just going to say, bro, you're trying your hardest, bro.
You are. I love you, DeBrickashaw. You are great.
Yeah. I might change, but I'm now DeLexashaw. That's how much I love you,
bro. I am paying homage to you, sir.
Bro.
So, look, my general feeling is, I get, from Hercules Gomez, a former player, I get him not liking this and not wanting to kind of experience this, but as a fan, I'm like, yo, we're moving in the right direction. People are caring so deeply that they're having these conversations with players. And yeah, it can go for like a viral moment and blah, blah, blah. But it's a sign that American fans are really caring about this sport to the degree where it's like they're frustrated with their players. And I always say this, like,
but let's just be clear. It didn't work in Milan. It hasn't worked in LA.
I'm not saying it's productive.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Well,
if we're going to mimic something that works. There's meetings don't work.
But more
bro.
Than anything, it's just like the this is the general feeling that you know, and we've traveled to many different countries and watched games and stuff like that. The thing we generally always hear is the fans will be around longer than the players. The fans will, there's going to be roster changes over year after year, decade after decade. They're going to be always see a bunch of different faces, but those fans will always be there. And that is the requirement or obligation that the players have to those fans. So that's why I respect LA Galaxy players and going up to the fans and just having a conversation, because I think
right, because it's very easy to not do that.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And so it to me,
like Sans, if you and I had a bad episode and there was a bunch of Cooligans fans outside who said, I want to have a conversation with you, I'd be like, let's do it. Let's do it next week. You know what I mean? Let me get a W and then I'm going to come back.
All right. Is our podcast going to get relegated somewhere? <I don't know.
laughs> Jesus. Why do you have a tattoo of our podcast?
Just, you know, relegated to Kindles or something.
Bro, you get us. Y'all shaved your heads for this?
Y'all can only do text-based podcast. Damn, that hurts.
Yo, we ain't a podcast no more. We're a blog, dude. You know how hard that hurts?
It's a fascinating sort of thing, but...
If you're wondering what sparked this, they're in a 7-game winless streak.
Yeah.
6 of those are losses.
Yeah,
it's not good.
Not great. So,
one point out of a possible
LA Galaxy,
21.
LA Galaxy did win their game. Who'd they play?
They've won and lost. Won their last game.
Yeah, yesterday.
Was it Rao Salt
Lake? RSL, yeah. They beat RSL.
Wow, you beat a trash team.
Yeah, they won.
Not the players. They're going to have a meeting with...
You're gonna show up outside your house.
Yeah, Ricky Pooj held his jersey up.
He finally got an assist.
Look at that, first assist. Hey. Finally. All right, all the comments that are calling us, there are people calling us both fat because of that. Can you believe that?
You getting fat shamed?
I'm getting fat shamed because of we made fun of, because you made fun of Ricky Pooj and you said maybe MLS is your level. Yeah. And now I gotta catch the fat strays. This is unheard of.
Straight bacon being tossed at us, bro. It's disrespectful. We don't have to put up with it, to quote James Sands.
Okay. All right. We'll wrap up.
Well, congrats. Yeah, you got an assist 15 games into the season.
Good for
you. This is what you paid for, LA.
I'm glad we could motivate you, Ricky.
Real quick, though. We talking FA Cup?
Oh,
super
that's
quick,
right.
Some betting.
Right. That's
preview. We got to talk about Alexis, bro. Alexis got by the books.
I got, man. These books, the house always wins, everybody.
FA Cup, obviously. This...
I actually blame Mike. Miguelito screwed
it was,
me.
It was kind of my fault. We'll go back real quick. Playoff championship final. Alexis asked me for some betting advice. He goes, I want to bet
DraftKings has odds on this game.
Mm-hmm. He goes, I want to bet Luton. So I'm like, all right, Luton money line, easy. We didn't realize, well, Alexis didn't. I knew
a
I
whole
wasn't
lot
thinking
of weed,
at the
man.
Time.
You must be speaking French.
I forgot to mention to Alexis that's only the result after 90 minutes. Right. So Alexis sees the final result. Luton
I'm saying
going up.
Luton won. So yeah. I win my bet.
Right, but no, not in the 90 minutes. Yeah.
Not in the 90 minutes.
Turns
so
out, Alexis you can pick a time.
as long as, they're winning 76 minutes in.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Right.
But yeah, FA Cup real quick.
Yes, the Manchester
Derby. So if you're
going to
bet on this, bet on what you think the result's going to be after 90 minutes.
So what are we expecting? Obviously, the favorites have to be Manchester City.
Yeah. There's a lot going on here. Yes, the favorite's Manchester City. Manchester United, certainly not at full strength, right? Antony's injured. Lisandro Martinez is injured. It's not looking great. Sabitzer, who was a big backup for them, is injured. Mm-hmm. But they're the only team that could potentially stop Manchester City, their crosstown rival, their most hated rival outside of maybe Liverpool, although maybe it's now them, from doing the treble, which is their thing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They do the treble. That's your thing. They just did it. So you're the only team that can stop them. So there's a lot here. But still,
you're like,
Manchester City is way over.
Do the treble. Like, sounds like it should be a song and dance. I have a chord. Do the treble. Bum, 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 bum.
What era was that?
That was the 1960s. Yeah, the treble.
You know, didn't the Packers have like an old dance that they used to do?
Maybe,
like
the
shuffle.
Super Bowl shuffle.
The Super Bowl shuffle.
Yeah. Oh,
every once in a while, that video
shuffle.
Goes viral.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's bring it back. The FA Cup shuffle.
Yeah. You learned that right before the Lindy Hop?
I mean, look, I honestly don't think there's a ton of value you're going to find on any of the money line bets. Man City is minus 220, so you have to bet 22.
Minus 220, for those who don't know, means you have to bet $220.
To win 100.
To be given back your $220 plus 100.
Plus an extra 100, yeah. So I don't love that value.
It's not
whatsoever.
Good odds.
I'm going on a prop here. I like a team prop. I'm going to say, this is a big one. This is like kind of risky. Manchester City over 2.5 goals scored in the 90 minutes.
Right. God forbid.
Plus 160. So that's great value. You're getting 160 if you bet 100.
It's risky.
It's risky. But bro, You inspired by this Manchester United defense? I haven't been.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those, you know, De Gea is going to let you down. I don't
feels
know.
Like
well, is he going to let you down three times?
Yeah. That's the tough part.
That's the tough one. Because you got to favor Manchester City to obviously win. My main concern here is they have a Champions League final the following week. What is this lineup going to look like? Is it going to be the same roster that's going
to... He's got to field the full roster.
He has to, yeah. You have to want to win this one and then worry about the trouble later.
Well,
yeah.
I'll tell you this. A FOT mob has a little voting system here. To win the game, Manchester City has 51% of the vote. Manchester United has 40% of the vote. There's a lot of confidence in Manchester United, more than I expected.
Okay.
I thought it'd be 90, but to draw, it's 9%. You're wondering, what do you mean draw? Yeah, it turns out it's in the 90 minutes.
Well, you know, Manchester City are on a one-game losing streak, bro. I don't know if they can recover from this in the last game of the season in the Premier League.
They're also unbeaten in 20 home games, and this is a home game.
It's at Wembley.
No, it's a home game for them. They're technically home, even though it's in a neutral.
Gotcha. Yeah, so that prop bet is actually kind of interesting. I wonder... because it obviously would pay off pretty well. Yeah,
I'm going full Manchester City blowout. That's my prediction.
Can you bet for it to not be a draw?
Yeah, you can. There's a bet called draw no bet, but like it's really just a money line bet, and it reduces the odds a little bit because it takes away that third option.
Because it says here the last six matches haven't ended with a draw.
Yeah, I mean, look, draw. You can bet a draw on this match after the 90 minutes. It's plus 360 odds, so maybe worth the sprinkle.
Okay. So, best of luck to everybody.
Who do you think is going to win that?
Manchester City's going to win I wouldn't say handily. Again, because my main concern is that I think Pep is going to be thinking about the Champions League final during this match. And I think they should still win, but, it's whatever. I don't know what the roster is exactly going to look like, but so that's my concern. But City's winning, but I don't think they're blowing them out. That's my general feeling. Okay. All right, everybody. Thank you again for joining us on another episode. Shout out to Tim Ream for the combo. We have also another big guest.
Next Thursday. Coming out next Thursday.
Next Thursday, we have Thomas Frank, the Brentford
Incredible.
Manager. So, I mean, look, we don't know who's going to be walking through.
Bro, line them up.
So make sure you tune into that as well. Always Mondays and Thursdays, the Cooligans, the podcast, YouTube. Leave
7
a review.
To 8 on DraftKings Network.
DraftKings Network as well. So we out here, everybody. Thank you again for tuning in. Shout out to Miguelito. We appreciate everybody who tuned in. We will see you next Monday. Peace, everybody.
Love
it's
you guys.
It's the Cooligans, buddy.
Now's the time to start your next adventure behind the wheel of an exciting new Toyota hybrid. With the largest lineup of hybrid, plug-in hybrid, and electrified vehicles to choose from, Toyota has the one for you. Every new Toyota hybrid comes with Toyota Care 2-year complimentary scheduled maintenance, an exclusive hybrid battery warranty, and Toyota's legendary quality and reliability. Visit your local Toyota dealer today. Toyota, let's go places. See your local Toyota dealer for hybrid battery warranty details. We'll be right back.